This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Well, Todd, I don't know what it's doing there. I can tell you here in State College, it is a downpour. It's a deluge.
It's coming. It was pretty dark here when I walked in the studio.
But enough of the suit's presence. Thought that was a good one. Now, it's going to be out of here in a half hour or so. But it's really coming down.
Don't stick a bat out the window.
No, I'm not trying to. No, we have lightning here and everything else like that. So, yeah. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities, athletes, business, and get your journey started today at NILGameChangers.org. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at SunburyMotors.com. Okay, we will get a better read tomorrow on kickoff times and television assignments for the games they want to announce. You know, you could probably, in the end, get half the Penn State schedule tomorrow with kickoffs. We know the games are on Saturdays because they've already announced the Friday night schedule. So we know the games are on Saturdays. It's just a question now of which ones they choose and kickoffs and the time that goes with that kickoff.
Do you have a preference? Would you rather all noons or 3:30?
At home, 3:30. On the road, noon.
Sounds like a smart man.
Exactly. Yeah. And people are like, oh, I hate noon. Hey, man, you aren't flying back.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, there are two Black Friday games on CBS and NBC that are going to be announced later this month. Now, I think that would be tomorrow. One of them is going to be Iowa-Nebraska. All right, so that's one. It's just a question what the other one is. Last year was Penn State and Michigan State. Well, that's not going to happen this time through. But Iowa-Nebraska has been the Black Friday game for years, and Iowa and Nebraska want to play the game on Friday. That's the other part that makes it really easy for them. Iowa and Nebraska want to play the game on Friday. They request it. And in a shocking move, charges have been dropped against Scottie Scheffler.
And he can't be sued for the pants.
Did you see the video?
I did see the video the lawyer found, yeah.
How the heck did he even wreck the pants?
I don't know. When the ESPN guys, the second group of ESPN guys described it, they said he looked like he tripped over the curb.
Yeah.
Which
okay.
Is probably why he wanted to blame it on Scotty.
So they've dropped the charges. Look, and again, this goes back when we saw the video, the first one, not the second one, the first one.
Well, I'm looking at it like, what is going on here? What did he do wrong?
And we said that they had to drop the charges. Well, they have. Because, look, there's nobody that looks good in this thing. Right? Nobody. Right? You know, I mean, Scottie Scheffler is a mugshot, so that doesn't look good. But, the Louisville Police Department looks really bad in this. So they're like, they had to sit down in the meeting and go, hey, what do we do here? So, yeah.
My favorite part of that story was when they were booking them, they were all watching the reporting of it in ESPN on the TV.
Well, see, that was one of the big problems they had, was the car, I believe, hope I have this right. The car to the right of Scheffler was the ESPN talent car. Bob Wischusen was in there. Jeff Darlington was in there. And a couple of others that were going in to announce the tournament. Well, that's the worst thing that could have happened to the police. Like, and they've got a guy there reporting on it. Okay.
I think Scotty's probably pretty lucky that the ESPN guys were next to him too. That has eyewitnesses that bear out more his story.
Exactly. And, I mean, he even looked at Darlington and he said, help me here. Like, oh boy. So the charges have been dropped. Back to the TV part. Tomorrow's the big day. They'll announce. I'm going to say when they're all said and done, Penn State, they may announce 6 of them for Penn State. They'll all be Saturday, so we have that part. I mean, if there's one that's not a Saturday, I'd be somewhat surprised. Doesn't mean and they should all be Saturdays, and then we'll find out what the kickoffs are and what network to go with it. But on the road, noon? Yeah, noon doesn't bother me on the road. Yeah, I always hear the old mumbo jumbo all the time. I always get out to slow starts at noon. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. All right, it's fine. Okay.
There's a big difference getting back on campus at 8 o'clock and 11:30 or midnight.
You got that right. So I'll see a noon basketball game. I say, yeah, right. I like that.
Which is way better than the 9 o'clock tip in Iowa on a Tuesday night, right?
And I've done that.
Not too long ago.
No, this season. There was a 9 o'clock tip-off at Iowa. And I remember it was really warm that day. It was 73 degrees during the day, and a cold front went through, and the wind chill was 14 below zero when we were going out to the plane at midnight. Like, oh. I mean, the wind was blowing, the whole thing. It was bad. So, we're going to talk to Tony Knopp today. This is going to be an interesting conversation because I'm going to bring up the Red Lobster case, which I went through with you yesterday, which is private equity. And the only point of bringing that up is to point out that it's not completely the savior that it's made out to be, that you have to be able to not just jump in and say, okay, this is great, we've got the money. You have to jump in, and yes, the people in private equity want something in return. I mean, you're putting that kind of money in, you should want something in return. At the same time, you're the entity that has the product. And you're also the entity that has the experience of running the product. So you need to get something out of it, a.k.a. the money, but at the same time maintain control over the product. In Red Lobster's case, And business is a little bit different because, I mean, Red Lobster, when they first came out, they had an owner, General Mills then got involved, then Darden got involved, and then Golden Gate got involved. You know, they kept selling it off. And then finally, Thai Union got involved. Okay. And they bought 49%, but then Golden Gate ended up selling more shares to Thai Union. They took control and they ran the thing into the ground. Now they filed for bankruptcy. Most private equity is fine. But again, it's all about, okay, what do they want in return, which they should be asking for. They're going to put that kind of money in. They should ask for something. Conversely, you'll get the money. That's a check mark, but you also need to keep the control. You're the entity that knows how to run it. That's why I brought it up yesterday, to let you know what a worst-case scenario looks like, that it's not all Shangri-La when it comes to private equity. Thus the point about the Red Lobster story yesterday. We'll talk about that with Tony Knopp. Sponsorship on uniforms? Hey, look. It is something that is, to me, a distinct possibility. I think it's a smart way to go. When you look at the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NHL, and the NHL doesn't get as much as the NBA or Major League Baseball, for obvious reasons. Their ratings aren't as high. Major League Baseball is up in the $8-10 million a year range. The NBA is up to $15 million a year. Well, guess what the second most popular sport in America happens to be? College football. Oh. Well, how much is that worth? So let's get to Jerry Cardinale with Redbird, back to private equity. When they asked him about what college programs may be worth, he said, look, Redbird may want to get involved with, he said, he threw out the number of 5 to 10. Well, there's Penn State sitting there right there at 241 million viewers from 2016 to 2023. That's number 6 among all college programs. And, of course, back to the 18 programs that draw 50% of the viewership, Penn State's one of the 18. Well, you would think Penn State would be a candidate that they would investigate. And you look at the Red Sox, the Penguins, AC Milan, which Redbird's already involved in. I can tell you right now that Red Sox fans are mystified by what John Henry is and more importantly, is not doing with the club. A lot of people are feeling that, you know, that they want the money so they can get the Las Vegas expansion team. Okay.
The interesting part about this is the schools they'd be interested in are probably the schools that need them the least.
True, but there's a reason why they're where they are.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get to Georgia Tech football. Georgia Tech football doesn't, I mean, you look at the ratings, they don't draw anybody. But they would need this more than anybody. All right? Cal football. Cal football is going to get $11 million from the ACC TV contract and $10 million from UCLA. They're getting as much from UCLA for going to the Big Ten than they are from their own TV contract. Why? Nobody watches Cal football. And that's a gross generalization, but not enough people watch Cal football. How about that to make it a better, right? That's the issue. And you're right. They would need the money. And Todd's exactly right. They are the ones that would need the money. Yet you're not going to have people going after them because they would not look at them as a good investment. for the reason I just stated. They don't draw well at home in terms of attendance, but it's the TV part that comes into play here, and Cal does not get very good TV ratings. See, that's what they're, that's the problem that they have. And I think your point is spot on. The people that actually really need it don't have it. It's not going to be there for them. But then again, I can't see how Cal, because the number I've been now quoted is not 20 million, it's 22 million. Okay? That's the number I now have, 22 million. All right, we'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. One-stop shopping for name, image, and likeness opportunities. All at NILGameChangers.org on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Go to NILGameChangers.org. Begin your journey today. Help businesses, athletes, whomever. NILGameChangers.org. Yeah, private equity is certainly the story that people are talking about with college sports because of the money that you're going to need. I mean, Penn State is going to end up paying, starting in the fall of 2025, $22 million. It's not 20, it's going to be 22 million. And yeah, we all know what the stadium is going to cost. We saw that. But again, the stadium is a long-term investment play. Okay. And as I pointed out when it came out, the Jordan Center was built and was the jack of all trades and the master of none. It is passable as an event arena. It's passable as a basketball arena. It's passable as a concert arena. It's passable for graduations. It's not really awesome and incredible for anything, but it's passable. You can make, in other words, you can make it work. Well, Beaver Stadium is the building. This is beyond, like, let's make it work. You have to really make it work for you. And the big part of it is, to me, reinforcing that entire structure. So it's great for all of you. I mean, reinforcing the structure so it's great for all of you. And then you add in the bathrooms, and you add in the concessions and the, you know, just as simple as getting in and out. That's huge, because what if something happens? You have to be able to get the people out of that place as quickly as possible, which means you need wider concourses, wider entranceways, and so forth, because you have to think of those contingencies.
An in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. All of you have multiple insurance needs. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. They'll make sure they save you money while being fully insured. Customer service means everything to them. At Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And Wednesday, August 7th, the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament benefit the Susquehanna Valley United Way. And the Purdy's once again giving back. Customer service, community mean everything to them. Family. It is all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Yeah, so the purpose of the Red Lobster story is just to point out that not every solution is perfect, that you have to be careful with it. And that's the bottom line with private equity. It sounds great on paper. Okay, that's great. All right, I have no issue with it at all. None. Zero. Okay? But it's like anything that you do. It's like anything you do. Okay? Make sure you know what the unintended consequences are. That's the important part. And that's why I brought it up. And in the case of Red Lobster, the unintended consequences bit him. I mean, it got him big time, too. But then again, they ceded control of what they were doing. That was the issue. You know, because over time, they get sold. These are entities. They get sold. You know, at one point, they were General Mills. Another point, they were Darden. Another time, they were Golden Gate in terms of who actually owned it.
I did sound very upset that I lost Endless Shrimp yesterday, didn't I?
You did. You did. But there's nothing better than going to a place like that and having the suit look at it and go, it's jumbo shrimp. Is it little jumbos or big shrimp? Like, it's just, I mean, he confuses me.
He's a big Stephen Wright fan. Why do we park in a driveway and drive in a parkway?
That's right. Exactly. Why do we do that? It's a good question.
It is a good question.
It's fair. It's a fair question. I like it. All right. So, yeah. That's why I brought it up. In other words, make sure you take care, you don't cede control. Now, whomever's investing private equity in, they're going to want something. For the that kind of money, they should want something. Okay, right, but you can't cede control. That's the key, right? And that's what happened, and that's what this lesson teaches you. The second you cede control is the second you have the possibility of going down a bad path, because it turned out the people they brought over had no idea how to run restaurants. Every business has its own idiosyncrasy as to how it's run. Radio has its own way as to how it needs to be run. Roger's done that brilliantly for years. Restaurants have their own way they need to be run. Okay. And that's why, you know, that's why we bring this up. And these people had no idea how to run it. Five CEOs in 5 years, no offense, big number.
That's a George Steinbrenner-like number.
That's right. That's exactly right. Right. But for college athletics, it could be a big plus. No question. But don't let anybody get any more control than they need to have. You need to, you know, the point is you need to be the one that keeps control over the day-to-day operation as to how it's run, because you're the experts on it.
Again, all these things we bring up, this would be so much easier with strong leadership.
Of course it would be. Well, I know. It's no question. There's no question it would be much, much easier. No question with strong leadership. They don't have that. NCAA doesn't have that. Now where leadership can come into play with the NCAA, and I've pointed this out before, and that would be going to Congress and saying, hey, we need to get an antitrust exemption to allow us to negotiate a deal to stabilize college sports. And point out to them that the way we read the Supreme Court ruling on Alston is what you want us to do. Right? Let's see if they buy that. Let's see if they buy that. This group might.
It just seems strange to me that they're letting the courts decide all this and letting a judge and attorneys decide this rather than deciding it themselves.
But they had no choice in this. In this case, I'm not blaming the NCAA. They had no choice.
It's something they probably should have been able to see coming before it got to this point.
Oh, with the leadership there?
Well,
come
this is true.
On. My goodness, my goodness. He couldn't lead a thirsty group of people to an oasis.
That's my Susie Sunshine thought for the day.
Yeah, and he's not, you know, like, when all you're worried about is number one, which is all he was worried about, in my opinion. Right? Okay. Right. He had his multi-year million, you know, multi-million dollar job. That's all he cared about. Notice how he got out. That's all he cared about.
I was going to say, at least Murphy feels like he's at least trying to do something.
Well, you mean Charlie Baker?
Baker,
yeah.
Charlie Murphy and Charlie Baker are two totally different people.
No, you're probably thinking of Senator Murphy from Connecticut, who's a big sports fan. He would probably be one of the people that would get involved in trying to write some legislation on this. Charlie Baker, the former governor of Massachusetts. By the way, midnight tonight is the deadline as to whether players stay in the NBA draft or go back to school. Okay. We can already tell you one guy that is staying in the draft. A freshman guard out of USC, Bronny James. Rich Paul from Clutch Sports said his draft range is wide. He could go from number one overall to 58. Like, brother. Right now he's projected it as 54 by ESPN.
I almost want the Hawks to take him number one now.
No. If they want to win, they'll take the guy from France. He's hard for me to judge because you don't know how much he was affected as a player by the cardiac arrest in the offseason. Okay. So I just don't know. Now he's medically, now he's been medically cleared by the NBA to be drafted. And by the way, you see, for example, Seth Lundy and Andrew Funk are both on two-way contracts with the Hawks and Bulls, respectively. Jalen Pickett is not, right? But they're on two-way contracts because in the NBA you're allowed to have 15 roster spots and a pair of two-way players on there between the G League and the NBA. Paul has already told teams, I don't care where you draft him, we are not doing a two-way deal. He said, and every team understands that. And two-way deals are more often than not offered to second-round and undrafted prospects. Well, Seth Lundy was a second-round pick. It was Seth 46 overall. And Andrew Funk was a free agent. They both ended up with two-way deals.
What's his leverage?
His last name.
I mean, if they pick him in the second round and dad's not on the team, I mean, why can't they sign him to a two-way contract? I mean, what are they going to hold over him? What are they going to hold over the team to say, well, he's not going to play? Oh, no, my second-round pick's not going to play.
Yeah. Two-way deals limit players to 50 games on the NBA's active list with a salary equal to half of the rookie minimum, which is $580,000. Now, what did Bronny do when he was in Chicago when they were over at Wintrust? He actually tested as one of the fastest, most explosive athletes in the draft combine. So that's good. They did 2 3-point shooting drills. He ranked second. And then in one scrimmage, he had 13 points. Right? And he was able to show off at the Lakers practice explosiveness, improved perimeter shooting, and so forth. But there are also times they say in Chicago he was so incredibly nondescript. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think the worst thing, his name's going to help him, but I think the worst thing for him is when he's not his dad right away that, we live in a world that is just not going to accept that.
Yeah.
And he's not his dad. He's not as big as his dad.
No. Well, look, his dad is a...
Yeah, I mean...
His dad is in that special top 10 of all-time category. And whatever number you want to assign, it's up to you. You want to say he's first, you want to say he's fourth, you want to say he's eighth, whatever. He's one of the top 10 players in the history of the game.
I was going to say, Steve, it's a two-hour show.
Right? So...
no offense, but he feels a lot like Jeffrey Jordan at this point. Where he's okay, mm-hmm. but what's he? If he's a starter in the NBA, I think that's a pretty impressive feat for him.
Oh, I would think so. I haven't seen anybody else actually announce what they're doing. I mean, for example, I know like Zach Edey is staying in the draft. I believe that Terrence Shannon's staying in the draft too, and he has obviously the outside legal issues.
I'm not sure I realized there was a possibility he could come back to Illinois.
I think we see with COVID.
Yeah,
with COVID. As somebody who's doing a lot of pre-work on players, you'd be surprised how many guys are getting a sixth year this year. Because I believe that this upcoming season is the last COVID season. I believe. But you're not going to have as many early entries.
Have we talked about that we finally got our answer from Ace yet, too?
You did.
Well, again, you're inside the building sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm 50 miles away. I have to wait for the announcement.
Okay. Do you want to know when we knew?
Probably the day after the season?
March.
Okay.
We'll make it very general, but more, yeah. Dick and I have known since March. Let's see. Let's see here in the early entry list. U.S. players who remain early entry candidates in the draft. Okay. Agbo from USC still in. Trey Alexander, Creighton, Mark Armstrong, Villanova, Joe Bamisil from VCU, yeah. Brooks Barnheiser, Northwestern. Can't imagine him staying in the draft. And he's a good player, by the way. That's not me downing him, because I think Brooks is a really good player. Now we know Stephon Castle from UConn is going to stay in, and Devin Carter is going to stay in. Castle is going to be a top five pick. Cam Christie from Minnesota is still in, and I don't think he's going back to school. I think he's staying in. Donovan Klingon, Tristan DeSilva from Colorado. Let's see.
Did Eric Dixon decide if he was going back to Villanova or not yet?
Dixon?
Yeah. I didn't see that. He was in the draft, but they were talking that he might come
Eric
back.
Eric Dixon's name is still here.
Yeah.
Zach Edey, but we all know he's staying in it. Kyle Filipowski, we know he's staying in it. Johnny Furphy, he's staying in it from Kansas. Let's see. Who else? Coleman Hawkins? Hawkins is interesting. Ronnie James, we know he's staying in. I don't see anybody else here that's... I mean, Scotty Middleton was going to... He was at Ohio State. I'm going to go into the draft, and he's going to Seton Hall.
Sometimes you get a reality check.
Oh, I mean, that's what I love. That's what I love about training camp. Like, every time I go to training camp, I don't care if it's football or basketball, voila, it is reality check time. Uh-oh, this may take longer than I thought. Khalil Ware, he's going to stay in the draft, too, from Indiana. And he should. He's got a nice game. Really nice game.
I'm shocked that some of his projections are so low in the second round.
Who, Ware?
Yeah.
It's because of the way the NBA plays today. And Klingon's interesting. He doesn't have the face-up game that Ware does, but Klingon really is intriguing. I mean, Klingon's the top 10 pick. Edey is really interesting. And look, and I'm A.E. Crow on Edey. In fact, I've changed my mind on him completely. I've been saying for 2 years that he would not be drafted. And I think now he's going to be a mid to late first round pick. And he's worked himself to that point. So I mean that's going to be one. I mean, I've said it on the show repeatedly that he would not be drafted because that's not how the NBA plays today. Well, guess what? Right? I will happily be wrong about that. Because I know whenever I've talked to him, whenever I talk to Edey, he's been great to talk to. Just seems in the limited opportunities I've had to talk with him one-on-one, he's been great to deal with. So I hope for his sake, that he ends up getting picked in the first round. And I'll happily eat crow on that. And like I tell her, I say it all the time in the show, don't I? If I'm wrong about something, I say it. Right? I can be right about everything. You're offering opinions. You're offering opinions in the moment. And guess what? A bunch of them are right. And guess what? Not all of them are. That's just the, right? And if you tell the audience, hey, I'm happily wrong about that. Well, guess what? Right? you know, you're just being honest with the audience. The audience deserves that. I can't stand when people do these shows and like they sit there and like and like double down and act like, nope, I wasn't wrong. Eh, you probably were. We'll take a break. This half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. The best in the business here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
Yeah, Bronny James is an interesting prospect. I read an article today that said nobody really knows how to talk about him. And it's true. Nobody really does know how to talk about him. I mean, I watched him on TV a couple of times. Like, what the heck? I mean, it's like, and again, because he had the cardiac arrest and was out 5 months, I have no idea how much that affected him. I just don't. I mean, I'd only be guessing.
Well, until LeBron decides what he's going to do, how can you say anything? Because you don't know if you... I don't know if they're going to force them, but, you know, if you sign him as a free agency, you have a free agent, you kind of have to consider taking Bronny, don't you?
Yep, I would think that would be part of the deal.
So if you say anything bad now, it's probably not good for your free agency game.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean... teams won't say anything. Scouts may say something. Broadcasters will say something. But he is a difficult guy to get a read on. I mean, first of all, excuse me. You know what? What USC's media guide listed him as? 6'4". And you want to know what he measured in Chicago without sneakers on? 6'1.5". Whoops.
He's the suit of guards.
Oh, no, no. This kid's a bit trimmer.
Well. That's how the suit gets to the hole, baby. Back down.
Yeah, but by the time he's done backing down, the game's over.